It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time. Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com.
Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Hey guys, it's podcast time. We're at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices here on a bit of a gloomy afternoon. Well, not afternoon. I guess it's still the morning when we're recording this on Thursday, October 5th. You selling some houses today, Mark?
Selling some houses. Prepping for Vegas. T-minus 15 days.
I thought you guys were going this weekend. And after the whole deal, the tragedy on Sunday night, I was like, man, that's not good timing for you guys.
You know how people differ so much on these events, right? These tragedies. And, you know, it was a lot of people lost their lives. It was a tragedy, no question about it. But even within the group of guys that's going, we got about 10, 11 guys, whatever it is, that are going. And some in the group are like, I don't want to be anywhere near that place. We're not staying in Mandalay Bay. Never were. But it's 2 blocks away from where we're staying. And some other guys in the group are like, I kind of want to walk over there and kind of see where it was. Kind of like people do with the 9/11 memorial, or they just want to kind of visualize the space, et cetera. Would you want to see it? Would you want to go over there and kind of see like where the hotel was in relation to where the event happened?
I had a similar deal. Do you remember when Dallas had the thing a couple years ago, a couple summers ago, where the guy was up shooting?
Like 5 cops died, I think.
Yeah. I actually went over there because I had to go to the Big 12 media days less than a week after that.
Yeah.
And I was staying right by it. I went over and paid my respects.
Now,
it was one of those deals for me.
Is it morbid or is it just general curiosity?
I guess it depends on your motives.
I like to understand. That's what I would say. I like to understand. A lot of people just can accept the news and move on, and other people want to dig in a little bit. I remember
you're a digger inner.
Oh, no question. No question. So here's the thing. Let's we talk about aliens on this show.
Yes, they're real.
Here's the thing. So every major event like this, every single one of them comes with conspiracy theories, right? They all do.
Yeah.
They all do. There's no question about it.
There's a lot of them with this that are floating around.
This one's no different. But let me ask you a couple questions, because I think a lot of the people, I would say the vast majority of people, when they hear news from a source, from CBS, from Fox, from CNN, whatever, they're a little bit like when you give medicine to your child, right? You could be feeding your child medicine or poison and they don't care. They open up their mouth and they take what you give them. That's the way it works, right? They don't question anything. A lot of people don't question any news that they hear. I like to question it a little bit, okay? So do I question things and say, well, I know what happened? Of course not. I don't know what happened, but I think it's healthy to ask questions. There's tons of videos right now of the shooting. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen them. Maybe you haven't. But if you haven't, they're out there. There's lots of them from people with cell phones. And one thing that's odd is an example. A cab driver who was just below Mandalay Bay when the shooting occurred was recording. And within and it's like a 17-minute video. She eventually picks up some victims and they're freaking out in the car and she's driving them off to a hospital or a hotel or whatever. Interesting video. But when the video starts, the gunfire that you hear sounds very, very, very distant, like a couple blocks away, extremely muffled, and she's startled by it, but it sounds that way. Gunfire stops. 10 seconds later, gunfire starts up, and it sounds like it's right outside her cab. Super loud. Way different than the first one. Now you could say, okay, different gun.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to think.
Different gun.
Is it a different gun?
But what a lot of people are using that video to say is multiple shooters, right? That can't be the same gun. It's not the same location. And there's lots of other videos where it sounds like gunfire starts and then other gunfires coming on top of it and two guns. Okay. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe it's Echo. I don't know. But that's where these conspiracy theories come from, right? The other one that's interesting to me, and I'd love to talk to somebody in the military about this that has experience. The guns used are apparently extremely heavy guns, hard to shoot. You get tired shooting these guns, the type that you would be using to kill these people. We're talking essentially like machine gun weight. They jam, they have problems, they're extremely hot, all of this stuff, right? And the story that we're being told right now is this flabby, non-military, non-gun-trained, 64-year-old retired accountant is acting like a sniper up in a hotel room. When you think about it in those terms only, you start to think, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit, frankly. It really does. This is something that would probably be pulled off more likely by someone with a lot of gun training, someone with military background, someone that knows what the hell they're doing with these types of guns. And yet, the official version of events so far is flabby 64-year-old retired accountant is the one that's wreaking all the havoc. And maybe he is. Again, I'm not saying this to say he didn't or it didn't happen that way. But people ask some valid questions that I think deserve some valid answers to really understand what happened here. Because I don't know. I mean, I don't know what your take is. Do you think everything that we've heard so far is accurate?
Everything is a strong word.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that any scenario like this, as you noted, I mean, it exhaustively needs to be looked into. I mean, I just have a hard time believing that, let's say, CNN or Fox News, whatever. And I said that to be politically correct. Because if I said one or the other, everybody would freak out on
sure.
one side.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what their motive would be to, like, knowingly report wrong
and
stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I'm saying they're reporting what they're being told, right?
Yes.
You report.
Okay.
Iowa State is the source of your material.
This is going back to the unacknowledged documentary that I told you about.
Okay.
Where you're saying, so what is their motive? Like the government? Or the...
Whoever, right? Whoever would be behind anything. So I was having this conversation with a buddy the other day. And again, I don't want people to be like, well, Charter thinks the government did it. That's not what I'm saying. But something that I'm reminded of that was not a conspiracy theory, and I would encourage people to do a little Googling on this. Back in the 60s, the government came up with a document that was called Operation Northwoods. Okay, and this was when we were having trouble with Cuba, etc. They didn't do this plan. This has become a declassified document, which government documents do over time.
Yeah.
So there's a declassified government document called Operation Northwoods, in which the government devised a plan for the United States to sink their own ship and blame Cuba so we could go to war.
I've read about this, yeah.
All right, well, if the government is even capable of thought like that, then they're capable of doing other things to get to some point in the future
that
they want to get to.
Too, that it could be beyond the government if you want to really get nuts. Where, like, I think there could be, like, a underground... This is what this unacknowledged documentary says.
Yeah.
That's even, like, above the president.
Yeah.
That, like, the sitting president doesn't even know about. That's the theory on that this guy has on Marilyn Monroe. Have I ever told you about this?
Uh-uh. What's that?
That... So she was having an affair with JFK.
Oh, that's fact. I was there. Okay.
She was having...
Is that even disputed, by the way?
No, but JFK's brother, too. Like, she was
doing everyone.
With both of them, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And she became jaded because JFK, like, quit...
Banging her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he was done with it.
Yep.
And allegedly, Marilyn Monroe was going to do, like, a tell-all press conference.
Okay.
Where she said everything.
Okay. That
which included what JFK had told her about, like, Area 51 and aliens and all that stuff.
A little pillow talk.
And... They offed her, is the theory. They offed her.
So you're not buying the Marilyn O'Deed herself.
So there's another theory out there that Bill Clinton, when he was president in his second term, was about to blow the roof open on this extraterrestrial stuff and was heavily warned not to because, quote, This is from the documentary. This is not my...
I have to watch this documentary.
The documentary, quote, he didn't want to end up like JFK. So they're insinuating here that it was a government deal because JFK was a little bit loose with his
I thought you were going to say they sent Monica his way to try to silence him that way.
You should watch this documentary. Like, there's a lot of it.
It sounds like some interesting Netflix material.
There's a lot of it that's way too far for me, even, where I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of it that's like kind of what you're talking about here. Like, what's the distraction type situation?
Yeah. So I don't know.
To put a cherry on top, though, I believe that a crazy man did this, and I don't think that anybody, I'm not buying into this was a government act. Like, I just...
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not saying that either. I think that there's photos of the crime scene, too, from his hotel room. So,
yeah,
there's other things, too. There's clearly some... In one of the photos, there's a piece of paper with a pen sitting on top of it and, like, a roll of green masking tape. So people say, is that a suicide note? There's a piece of paper on there, right there. What is that piece of paper? What's on it? What's written on it? They want to know answers to those types of questions, right? Because if there's a suicide note, maybe it talks to motive, et cetera. I find it interesting. Here's the thing. I think it's a good exercise to ask questions. It doesn't mean that those questions are going to lead you to an answer that's different than the official version of events. Oftentimes it won't. But I would rather people exercise their brains and at least go down those paths versus just saying, well, that's true because Fox News said it was true, et cetera. That's where I would go with it.
No, I'm with you. Citizens who are asking questions makes the whole world better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's another, I could talk about this documentary forever.
We definitely need to see this.
Yeah, you need to watch. I've watched it 3 times now. My wife gets really annoyed when I quote it because she thinks it's all crazy. She thinks the guy's nuts.
So I want to talk about this. I know you have bigger fish to fry.
What do you mean?
We're talking about the logo. I want to talk about this for a second.
No, get it off your chest. There's a lot of people who want to talk about
it. So you have bigger fish to fry. These things aren't important in your world. You got bigger sports topics to talk
about. That's not necessarily
true. I have no bigger fish to fry.
I'm a guy who went on a crusade to get smoke on the water.
This is my new smoke on the water.
Okay.
All right? Because allegedly, people up there, listen, some people do, and I'm hoping they're hearing this too. All right, now let's talk about some unscientific research.
They listen in the off season. I don't know how much they're paying attention.
All right, unscientific research. There was a piece. Did you read the piece?
Kigavi.com. Yeah, Josh Kigavi, good guy.
All right,
I did read that. Yes.
So great piece on that, right? And I don't know if he generated these photos or not, but
Kigavi, I've known him for a really long time. He's very passionate about like the uniforms
and the uniform.
He's very good at that stuff.
So this is interesting, but I posted this on Twitter. If you haven't seen it, go to our podcast. It's a side by side shot of two guys smacking their heads together. So it shows two helmets, same time. What could be our logo versus what is our logo. I went on Facebook last night and put, which helmet do you think is better, left or right? Left would be the one I prefer. Right is our Bugles thing. Everybody responded. And we know we're a divided country. We don't agree on anything, right?
This is true.
Everybody, essentially, but Katie Kendall's stupid boyfriend, who's a hawk, and he only wants us to have a crappy logo. That's why he picked Bugles. Everybody else is the one on the left. Everyone else, okay? Yeah. I put this thing on Twitter. Again, it seems universal that people like this other version.
Can I chime in real quick?
What I don't understand is why did we adopt crap?
I don't even hate the new one.
Who approved it?
I don't even hate this Bugle one is what they're calling it. When I saw it first, I thought it was really cool, just being honest. But I like the other one better.
And I think everybody does.
Yeah, what I'm saying, I'm not even polarized on this. Like, I'm totally fine with this new one.
Yeah.
But the other one's really cool, too. I get what you're saying. There's a lot of people upset about it.
Andy Fales chimes in. Left, which was the not the one that we're going with currently. He says, though that hardly sheds the Bugles label, it's much less Bugle-like. You can only... Anytime you do a tornado shape, you're probably going to... I run into that. So what someone put on here, and I'm not Mary Housemaker here, but my friend Bobby, who's a girl, said it reminded her of a Thanksgiving cornucopia. Do you know
what the Bugle logo or the new one?
Yeah, that's what a cornucopia looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And that does look like our logo, right? So do we want a logo that looks like Bugle snack food or apparently a Thanksgiving cornucopia? And what I don't buy, and obviously Iowa State to this point has spent time and money on
I'm sure
this thing.
They have spent
There's
a lot
no
of money.
Question.
Yeah.
But when they come out and say, it is what it is, we're not changing, it reminds me of the Cy-Hawk trophy. They could have said the same thing. It is what it is. We're not changing. Oh, this is the trophy.
The Peter family?
Yeah. And everybody came out and said, that thing is hideous.
I liked the Peter family.
And what changed?
Just because it was
funny. They changed it, right? They changed it.
They missed the boat on that, man. They should have done the corn belt. Like, and had a WWE-looking belt.
An actual belt.
That's the trophy. How sick would that have been?
I don't know. But I just want to know how many people... I would love to... I think Pollard's a pretty honest guy. You interview him a lot. You know,
Pollard is very honest.
I would love to take the designs that Kagavi put out there with the one we have now and say, do you honestly believe this is better than this? And see if he says, yes, I do. Because I haven't found anyone else that does.
You know what this reminds me of is that license plate deal from a few months ago.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. But bad design can be changed. This whole like, well, we're stuck with this for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
That I think it's
hey, let me tell you, let me tell
misfire.
You this, Mark. The folks up at Iowa State are about as socially aware as any athletic department you'll find.
So you're telling me they've seen the heat.
I'm saying if they've probably received backlash. Now the challenge that a guy like you who's really upset about this will have is convincing people that it's not just a vocal minority on social media and that people actually hate this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So what you're telling me is I need to go do one of them popular petition websites.
Oh, man. Don't get me involved in any petitions here.
And get 50,000 signatures, and then I can take it up there.
I mean, my whole deal is, like, if this is still a thing in a month, then that will...
I think ugly is going to stay ugly.
No, but you know how like the news cycle works, right? Like, you know.
Yeah.
If people are still bitching and moaning about this in December, you're going to have more of an opportunity.
I think what we're less likely to see, I think here's what's probably going to happen. If the powers that be at Iowa State are hearing the public and the public's loud enough and says – you could have done much better. Now, with that being said, let me say this. I think the use of the Cyclone logo is a good thing. I like it. Like, I've been wanting them to do this for a long time.
Well, and I like having secondary logos.
Yeah, too. And I think they missed the mark, especially compared to these other photos that we have of this alternative logo, which could easily work. It could be. There's no reason they couldn't do it. I think it looks great. I think a lot of people don't think it looks great. I think what you're going to see versus we're scrapping it, we're starting over, is simply they're not using it. You know, they don't have to use it. They can use other logos that they have.
Yeah, and
they
to
would
be
just,
fair,
they would just bury it.
We didn't know how many times they had planned on using this anyways. I was told by somebody inside the program that it looks really cool on a white helmet.
And that might be the problem.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but the logo that encompasses a lot of red on a red helmet,
it didn't look good.
Doesn't stand out. So I don't understand why they, you know, I'm not a designer. I don't know how this stuff works.
They should have rolled it out with the white helmet.
It would have been, it'd be a lot more striking.
But it would still look like a Bugle.
Hopefully they get a Bugle's endorsement out of this deal.
Didn't Bugle, like, tweet about it?
They did. Which, doesn't that tell you something right there? It does for me.
Okay. You got anything else on that?
On the logo?
Because you were, like, super fired up about this yesterday. I mean, I saw multiple tweets. I saw a passionate Facebook post.
See, you have to cover Iowa State from so many different angles, and I don't. I can just focus on one thing. And this is my thing, man.
Here's the, like, I admit to being too focused on some of these side stories at times. Like,
yeah.
And I said this on my radio show on Friday. Like, don't you, Mark, though, like, dream of a time where we at Iowa State are where this stuff isn't a big deal? You know, because that would mean that we're winning.
Yeah, and the argument is, if we were winning, you wouldn't care about the logo.
I don't know.
Less?
Usually,
I care less.
Winning programs, though, don't have to change their logos and stuff.
That's true. They're not trying to find an identity. I was having this discussion. I don't know if we talked about this, but I was with Lane and Jack and some of their friends over, and we were talking about best college football uniforms.
Who do you get with?
And here's the thing. This is a little bit weird.
This is all a taste thing. It's not a right or wrong. Everybody has different.
Absolutely.
It's like, what
absolutely.
Kind of music do you like?
The one that I went with, because I think it just screams classic and simple, is Penn State.
That's my least favorite.
You know, so
that is my least favorite in all. I put out a tweet about that when they were playing Iowa.
You could almost
ugliest
argue,
uniforms in
you
sports.
You could almost argue that it's also the most boring.
Yeah,
but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
See, I like the.
With that being said, you know what else I did like, which is the opposite of that? I liked it when Oregon looked like a duck.
Yeah, that was cool.
Orange shoes.
I liked that as well.
They looked like ducks, and I thought that was kind of cool.
The best uniforms I think I've ever seen in college football is when Florida State had the black.
I don't recall that one.
They did all blacks.
Yeah.
And like that Seminole on their helmet, that the spear, you know?
Yeah.
Like that is. Those are my favorite.
And Iowa State, we think, is going to do that next year. At least once. They'll probably do an all-black.
Well, they've got like a whole different deal coming next year.
Yeah. And one of those is probably some version of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I do know, though, that Campbell's brilliant. He's very open-minded.
Do you like the gray unis?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I'm torn on them.
They're my wife's favorite that she's ever seen with Iowa State.
I like them better than when we've rolled out something before where we looked like the fighting Ronald McDonald's. I wasn't a big fan of that.
You know, I like the gray a heck of a lot more than I like the traditional.
Do you like yellow? Gold? When they go gold? They've done gold jerseys before.
Just once in a while. Don't do it too much. They're all whites or sick with the white helmet. I like it when they do the, on the road, the white jersey, the Cardinal pants.
Mm-hmm.
I think that looks really cool.
Yeah.
And the Cardinal helmet to go with it. I don't know.
I kind of like their white helmet the most.
Yeah, I like it too.
That sticks out.
I like it a lot.
So, we'll see.
What's your Penn State is your that is
it's
gross.
Clean. It's clean.
It's disgusting.
Is this like just like is this hatred for like
no.
Kitty Gate or something
it's
or
not.
You've always hated it?
I've always hated it since I was a little kid.
I mean, it's crisp blue.
I get
it's
the
white.
Whole it's classy thing, but
yeah.
Like, man, like I hate those uniforms.
I don't know, like...
I don't like the white
I think
pants,
you can say
like, what if you poop? I always think of that.
Yeah, what if you poop? I think that's what the designer's
girls
thinking.
Girls wear white pants all the time. I'm like, man, what if you shart?
I think girls are worried about slightly different stain when they wear white pants than poop, dude.
This is true.
Yeah. I've been with... My sister doesn't listen to this. I was with her once,
oh, no.
And that happened.
Mark, you can't tell this.
We were at Worlds of Fun.
Oh, no. She sharted?
She started ragging. No. Aunt Flo came to visit. I think we had a sweatshirt or something to help her cover it up. Pretty sure. Sorry, Casey. I feel bad now. not enough.
That might be the most inappropriate story.
Not enough to edit it out.
You have ever told.
I think I was. I was probably 17 at the time, so she would have been 21, 22, something like that. Long time ago. She'll forgive me. It's okay. And she'll be really mad if it wasn't her and I'm misremembering the story, which is possible. I don't know.
Do you want to do the Fawcast 5?
Sure, man. You do whatever you want.
Fred Hoiberg hates the term hoyball. He tells the Chicago Sun-Times. Hates it. He deplores it. You know who came up with hoyball? Bloom.
Did he?
Bloom.
So basically Hoiberg is hurting Bloom's feelings.
Oh, Bloom is having a horrible day.
Hoiball. I like it. Hoiball.
He doesn't like what it represents.
Hoiball, by definition, means fast-paced hoisting threes.
Yeah, spread it out, chuck a bunch of threes.
Okay.
Quote from Hoiberg on Wednesday via the Chicago Sun-Times. I have no idea which year it started. Yeah, and that's like his only quote on it, but this author... This is the lead. Coach Fred Hoiberg doesn't like the term hoyball. Check that. He deplores it.
So,
the problem is it's hard for him to escape the tag, even 3 years removed from Iowa State, where the term originated during his coaching days. It's all Bloom's fault. He upset the mayor.
Way to give credit to the source of the material there.
Yeah.
Jerk author. Does he hate it because his name's in it and he's not a limelight guy?
I think he hates it because it represents like a no defense run and gun style that probably wouldn't really work in the NBA.
Yeah. So how is he changing things now that he has his team What's he going to do?
I don't think we really know. Like, I mean, we haven't seen.
Are the Bulls going to be hot garbage this year?
Yeah, they're going to be really bad.
Okay, but he gets a pass.
I mean, it's
his team for the first time, kind of a deal.
I actually think that Fred, that having this garbage team this year is the best thing for his future.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're picked like the over-under is the worst in basketball, Mark.
Is it?
Yeah.
Dead last.
So, like, you can't really go below expectations.
So, I have no idea what this is. Well, let me guess. So, their win total, you're talking about, is the lowest
in
the NBA?
20 or something like that.
Jesus. I didn't know they were going to be that bad. That's crazy. Worse than
I know you wanted
Nets?
To talk about bad beats. I just want to I try and be very honest with our audience all the time. I've never had 2 weeks worse than my last two Saturdays in college football.
So I did not have a bad beat on Monday, but Monday night is the type of game where
you just question
life. Man, you just want to kill yourself. I mean, if you're on the wrong end. And so two games that are like this come to memory. And I've been on the right side of both of them, okay? So for people that didn't watch, have no idea what we're talking about, Kansas City versus Washington on Monday night. Kansas City is a 6.5-point favorite, okay?
Yep.
And the over-under for the game is roughly 47.5 to 48.5 for the most part. That's where it's locked in at. The game, Chiefs are winning 23-20. With 4 seconds left in the game. They just scored on a field goal. They're kicking off. The kickoff ball goes in the end zone. One play left from the 25.
Yeah.
For Washington. Okay. At this point, the probability of the game going over and the probability of the Chiefs covering is nil. You know, 1 in 10,000. Something in that ballpark, most likely. The Redskins start to do what most teams do. Chuck it around. Throw it backwards. There's a fumble. And even when you get a fumble in a game like that, it can still be like guy falls on it, game is over. Chiefs falls on it, game is over, whatever. Houston, trying to blank on his first name, for the Chiefs, picks it up, could have been tackled, wasn't. Trucks in the end zone as time expires. No, time was expired. There was no time. To make the final score 29-20. Chiefs cover. And the game goes over.
Yeah.
When a play like that happens, it literally shifts maybe $100 million around the world from one side to the other side. It's a massive, massive deal in the world of gambling. And they're rare. The last time I saw that happen was Ohio State, Northwestern. Same type of play, exact same type of play. Northwestern started chucking it and went all the way back to their end zone. So they went backwards like 30 yards trying to, you know, throw it backwards.
Yeah.
Fumbled in the end zone. Ohio State jumps on it. Same premise.
I remember that. I was sitting at Buffalo Wild Wings with Jack Whitford watching that game.
Same premise. Yeah. So that one had a massive change in betting too. Scott Van Pelt, who does the Bad Beats episode thing on ESPN, he has that game in his montage up front when it's leading into it because it's such a bad beat. Bad beats happen. If you bet on games, they happen. Those types of bad beats are just
atrocious.
Gut
that's
punches.
Like that's similar to like the 3-quarter court shot that totally meaningless. Like it's a 9-point game.
Yeah.
Sinks it. The spread was 7.
There's a
in basketball.
There's a well-known gambler in Vegas named Steve Fezzik who posted a parlay ticket where you have to win all the games. He did bet $100 and bet 10 games. And to win that parlay, you have to go 10 for 10, which as someone that has maybe allegedly bet on a game, Chris, you know how hard it is to go 10 for 10.
It's almost impossible.
So if he got all 10 right, he would win $55,000 on a $100 bet. He was 9 for 9, and the game that was number 10, he had Chiefs -6.5. So that play won him $55,000. That's what happens on a play like that. So it's crazy.
Well, and then, but not only that, but it shifted the over-under too.
Yeah, to have both on the same play.
That's what's crazy about
it. But people don't think about this, too, because there's in-game bets, too.
Yeah.
So that not only shifted that, it shifted, like, the second half over. It shifted the Chiefs' line second half over. It shifted their team total for the game. That play changed a lot of money. So I find it interesting. People that don't bet are like, what are you talking about? I don't even get it. It's an odd event. Let's put it that way. Speaking of odd.
Bloom tweets, this is way worse than the time my sixth grade girlfriend broke up with me and went to the winter mixer with my twin brother.
Does Bloom have a twin brother?
Yeah.
Identical?
Yeah, he's a Hawk.
What?
Yeah, he went to Iowa.
How does that happen?
Well, I mean.
It's terrible.
One of them worked out. The other one clearly did not.
It's terrible. Jekyll and Hyde happening.
What do you have for the Podcast 5?
So, Cam Newton was a moron.
Jeez. I'm glad that you went this route, because when you said you wanted to talk about this, I didn't know which direction you were going to go.
Like, it was an awkward interview. For those that didn't see it,
the most awkward part was his facial expression.
A female reporter for the Charlotte, I think, Observer.
Yeah. She's very credible.
Is asking him a question about one of his receivers, and is Cam basically happy about to see that receiver running certain routes? That was the question, right? And as she's asking it, he's smiling and kind of chuckling to himself, and then he responds with, you know, not a direct quote, but paraphrasing, it's funny hearing a female talking about routes. That's what he says.
Is there a sexual tie into that? Because I kept thinking, like, what's funny? Is it just because a female doesn't play football?
Yeah, that's what I took away from
okay,
it. Because
I kept thinking, like, what? Like, for the life of me, I couldn't figure out what's funny about that. But I'm like, oh, there could be some, like, inside deal that I'm not.
Yeah,
up on.
And I think I think his point was, okay, you're a football reporter in the NFL covering the NFL team
because you're a female.
You've never played football, probably because she couldn't, because most places don't offer football for females. He came off as a sexist jerk. He apparently didn't apologize. They talked later.
So
he didn't apologize.
She tweeted after it. Yeah, we talked afterwards, and it was even worse.
So does Cam just not get it? Here's the thing, though. It's not a white-black thing at all, right? Because I'll try to think of a black quarterback. Would Russell Wilson say that to her? I don't think so.
No.
Would Tom Brady say that?
No.
Would any of these guys? Because it's classless to say it. What is wrong with Cam Newton?
What has Cam Newton really ever shown us in the past to think that he would do anything different?
You'd hope he'd learn at some point. He's the face of their franchise.
He, like in 2012 or something like that, he a female reporter asked him something, and he called her, like, sweetheart. I read that this morning. So, like, my point is he's kind of got a history of this. And then that, like, sob story he did after the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Oh, you mean where he whined?
Yeah.
And pouted?
Yeah.
And acted like a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, my whole deal is I'm not even saying he's, like, a bad dude, because I don't know that.
What he did bad? No, I mean, was it sexist?
He's a sexist idiot. I think that's kind of just
I was fair. Going to ask you, by the way, do in the past or currently, are there any full-time females that cover Iowa State after games?
No.
I know it's mostly men.
There have been in the past.
Okay. You know, when I think sports and females, I think Heather Burnside locally. Obviously, she does sports.
She doesn't, like, cover the team. She's just she commentates on the team. The Ames Tribune used to have a female sports editor.
Mm-hmm.
The Register back in the day had a female columnist. Heidi Soliday was a female sports director at Channel 8 for a while.
Yeah.
So it's not crazy.
It's kind of like, here's an equivalent I would get, which I don't understand. People that say, no, okay. Is there a difference between somebody that played football and someone that didn't from the point of they truly understand to they don't? Okay, you could probably argue there's some difference there.
Yeah.
Because you've experienced it for yourself. But to say that just because you haven't played it doesn't mean you don't understand it.
That's
ridiculous. There's nothing to prevent a female from studying the game. It's kind of like a Ken Burns documentary. Well, he wasn't in the Civil War, so he can't really be an expert on the Civil War. You know?
Yeah.
Of course you can. So,
and my old deal, too, is like there's a lot of this is why I hate the coaches poll. Because
it's biased as hell.
Well, but how many games are these coaches watching every week?
Almost none.
Like, I would
almost
say,
none.
Mark, knowing you,
I watch more.
You're more qualified to vote in a poll than a college football coach.
Well, based on the eye test.
Yeah, because you're watching.
I'm seeing it.
You watch more games and you see more teams than these guys do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, have coaches ever told you? I mean, the rumor, the theory is that they don't vote. Someone else is voting for them, or someone's saying, here's the list of the top 25.
It just depends on the coach. Some coaches do it, and then oftentimes the sports information director will do it for them.
Will that go away?
No. Not as long as...
Why do they care so much as long as there's other polls? Just because it's a news story to write?
Yeah, it's because... It generate like the sport wants all these polls because it generates fan interest. Like, if Iowa State were ever like to be ranked, like let's say they're 25th in the coaches poll, but they're not ranked in the AP, we would all talk about, oh, great, they're 25th, they're ranked. It generates fan interest. That's all it is.
I think there's probably some in-state pressure too. So if Iowa State gets to the point where they're ranked, and you have a choice between putting Iowa State, you know, realistically at number 15 all the way down through number 20. Those are options for you. Is Kirk Ferentz over in Iowa City saying, let's put him at 15? You know, does he want to be, like, if he has a vote, does he want to be siding with the team, putting him a little bit higher? Because I don't want to look like an asshole, basically. I think coaches, they have to feel that a little bit, or conference teams. If this conference opponent is
conference
ranked higher,
definitely.
It looks better for us.
Conference, definitely. You know, I think that happens.
So, I don't know.
I think it goes by the coach. Some coaches take pride in it, and others should never be voting in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, can you – I don't know.
It's a little bit biased, I think. Well, it's a lot biased, if I'm being honest about it.
Like, I mean, how many – with all these West Coast games, how many of those East Coast coaches are watching Washington play it?
None.
2 o'clock in the morning.
None. Are you happy you're not an East Coast sports fan? Meaning you live on the East Coast and you like sports? Man, they got to get to bed late if they watch these games.
I would watch a significantly less amount of college football.
Yeah.
Because, like, I stay up for those Pac-12 games. I enjoy it, man. Like, the Pac-12 after dark is awesome.
The weirdest thing about Vegas when we're there is that time difference.
Yeah.
Your college football is starting at 9 in the morning.
See,
that is very weird. And your late game... is kicking off at 7:30.
I was in Seattle during the NCAA tournament once,
mm-hmm.
and it was phenomenal because, like, games were starting before 9.
Yeah.
It was like 8:55, first tip. Let's go.
Yep. There's something cool about having sports all day long. But honestly, man, I guarantee you football season leads to divorce. If you want to.
For you?
You can watch. No, hopefully not. But you can watch college football from 11 a.m., to at least midnight.
Oh, yeah.
And on Sunday, you can watch it from noon to 11. Basically straight.
I'm so much less of an NFL guy.
Is it because it's so freaking hard to bet on?
No. I think for me, as infatuated as I get with the college game, it's just hard to have that much energy on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I will, like, Mark, I will watch college football from 11 until 1 a.m. And I'll never get bored. It doesn't matter who's playing.
Did you watch?
By the time Sunday rolls around.
Arkansas State, Georgia Southern last night?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, considering which side I was on, yes.
Yeah. So that was, I was on the same side, brother. Let's assume there was no financial interest whatsoever for you. Would you still watch it?
I had financial interest in that and playoff baseball, and I watched the college football game.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
It's interesting to see how other teams run their offenses. I like
Georgia
that.
Georgia Southern's a fun team to watch. They do things very differently down there.
You know, I think if you're a true football fan, you can find some enjoyment out of any football game that you watch.
Yeah.
Because it's the same game played everywhere. It's just different styles.
I just like what I love about college football compared to the NFL is I love how, like, every league has its own personality.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when people want to crap on the Big 12 for being up-tempo and the way it is, well, I'm like, well, it's different.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why I like – I like watching a Big Ten game because it's different. I like watching the ACC because it's like we all have our own little
very different feel
personalities. And the NFL doesn't. I mean, it's all pro style. You know, that's just the way it is. And I love watching different coaches and just the way that the game works at these different places. So that's. I mean, that's, I think, why I'm so attracted to the college game.
By the way, Colin Cowherd was saying the other day he's been hot with his NFL picks so far this year. I think 77%. He gives out 5 each week, and he was talking a little bit about his philosophy. And he had 2 things that were interesting. He said the first thing was that if you're betting on NFL football, you have to get rid of the terms terrible and great. He said there is no terrible in the NFL. There's no great in the NFL. Patriots are good. Chiefs are good. You know, even the Jets, who are terrible, right, have 1-2 in a row, right? So you can't think in those terms because these guys are all paid. They're all professional athletes. They all were good enough to get to the NFL. So the parity is pretty close. The other thing was, too, if you have a great quarterback and you're getting points, take the points. Because a great quarterback, he uses Philip Rivers as an example and several others. But we're not talking about Bortles. We're talking about
You're talking about
your Philip Rivers, your Breeze,
top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, if they're getting points, they're probably not going to get blown out. They have the ability to come from behind for at least a backdoor cover if you're gambling, etc. Yeah.
And that's all you care about.
So those two principles alone, I agree with him on that. But I think in general, betting the NFL is much tougher than betting college.
No question.
I think that college is just way more predictable.
The best part about college is if you can get in on those games like last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the lines usually are not nearly as.
And not that anybody out there that's listening studied Arkansas State, Georgia Southern. I like to read about these things ahead of time. That game seemed clear cut.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like to do the picks. You know, like every Saturday I've been putting out my picks for the day. It's not because I'm betting on all these games. It's because it keeps me interested in all these games.
And you like to have a take.
And it makes me better at my job.
Yeah.
You like to have a take. I'm learning about, like, you know, if for some reason Arkansas State gets brought up on a radio show, I can talk about it. Like, it's far-fetched, but it just makes me study it more. I don't know.
I know we're coming up on our time here. Before we go out,
do you have any more topics here real quick?
I always have topics, but did you have anything?
No, I wanted to do Hoyball, gambling, Cam Newton. And then we covered the uniforms and we covered the
I want to get a final score prediction. I'll go first.
For
Iowa State and Iowa. I want to do both because Iowa's at Illinois.
No, Iowa hosts Illinois.
Host, yeah. So, and the line is, I don't
18
recall.
And a half.
18 and a half. I think Illinois is hot garbage.
I would take Iowa.
I saw a stat the other day that said, and I'm not exactly sure this is the right number, 58 freshmen and 9 seniors.
Yeah, I would take Iowa in that
for
game.
Illinois. I think Iowa will win. Oh, man, they could roll them. I'm going to say 38-17.
Okay.
For that game. 38-17.
I'll go 35-10.
All right. So we both have them covering.
Yeah.
Iowa State at Oklahoma is Iowa State at Oklahoma. I'm going to go, man, Oklahoma could score a lot of points.
If Iowa State is at full strength, that's a big if. I would take Iowa State to cover the 28. If not,
52-21.
Man, you think it'll be that high scoring?
No. I just threw out a number. 50. I don't know. Oklahoma? I mean, which Baker Mayfield shows up? I mean, the one that's on fire, lighting us up?
I would guess. I mean, that's kind of who he is.
Then, yeah.
He didn't do that well against Iowa State last year.
How good has Oklahoma's defense been this year so far?
Suspect. In their world.
What now, did they give up at Ohio State, point-wise?
That was their best game, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, they gave up 41 to Baylor.
At Baylor, right?
I don't know. They're better than Iowa State. We'll put it that way.
I would say there's a 99% chance Oklahoma wins the game. I'll say that.
I would agree with that completely.
Which is sad, but
I'll take Iowa State to lose by 27.
Just under the 27.5. Barely.
27. That's where I'm at.
All right. I think we lose. That's my prediction, unfortunately. Hopefully we get to the point in our future where we could win.
Hey, I said this beginning of the week. I stick with it now. Just get out of there without any major injuries.
Move on.
Save and move on and just blow out Kansas.
Where are our last victories, by the way? Where are our upcoming victories to end the show on this?
You can win your next two. Kansas and Texas Tech.
Kansas for sure. Well, not for sure. No games for sure. But Kansas, Texas Tech, better than I thought they were going to be.
Yes.
But winnable.
There's a lot of those games left on the schedule.
And then between West Virginia and K-State, what is a more winnable game for us?
I'm going to go K-State. And I love K-State. In fact, I had them third in the Big 12. But
there's nothing juggernaut about them.
They kind of play like a mellow type. I mean, I'm not a big West Virginia guy either. But
yeah.
Iowa State, Kansas State generally is always close.
Generally. Yep. And West Virginia is there?
Yes.
Tougher. Tougher game. Yeah. For sure. I think it's still possible. Six is possible.
It's possible.
You know, they got to grind. Just, they got to put in the work.
Just do not get killed this weekend and lose a bunch of guys. That's all I care about.
Health is
important. I have zero expectations for Iowa State to win on Saturday.
And we've been so far, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've been pretty healthy on the O-line, D-line.
Pretty healthy so far.
Which has not been the case in the past few years.
Pretty healthy so far. So, knock on some wood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a real estate deal coming up?
No, I don't.
No?
I don't. But I will say that we're still looking for a few more people. We've hired is not the right term. We've invited four people to join us. Those four people have said yes.
You've already... four commitments?
Yeah, but they got to become agents. It's a bit of a process. But yeah, they've said they want to come. We said we want to have you, et cetera. We want to maybe do a couple more, potentially.
Man, you're really growing this.
There's not a lot of reason not to, frankly, as long as it's the right fit. So if you're interested in being able to sit around and drink Mountain Dew and eat a donut and do a podcast, that's what I've done today. Come on out, do it.
I got to go try and sell some advertising.
Anybody we need to know about?
If it comes through, I'll tell you about it.
If you need a testimonial, man, you just have them call me.
I appreciate that, brother.
All right.
All right, he's Charter. I'm Williams. We'll be back next week. Later.